With the FA Cup and Champions League over for the week, we discuss how things are looking in terms of blanks and fixtures confirmed, plan our potential chips, and we look at players with a good couple of fixtures, with blank Game Week 31 looming. I'm going to be honest, it feels like it's been a while since we've had any FPL. Welcome back, everyone. We haven't been anywhere, though, have we? We were with you last week, and it's Thursday. I'm going to warn you, we're actually recording on Wednesday night because, of course, PSG played, Jules is away. So, yeah, sometimes these evening records go a bit crazy. But this is going to be with you guys at the usual time. The team will have this ready for you on the Thursday afternoon. So we're going to be able to round up everything that we have seen while there hasn't been any Premier League football. Sam and Jules always here alongside me. Enjoyed our little break, Sam? Ready and rejuvenated?
Yeah.
You're a Spurs fan, so maybe that's
the last question I've asked
all season. That's literally the worst thing I could have asked all season, isn't it? Like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm ready for some FPL again. Let's put it that way.
The good news is because we haven't really been targeting FPL, Spurs and FPL, I suppose we haven't really had to talk about it and make it worse, have we? Jules is a lot happier because PSG won this evening. In fact, Jules, let's just go straight in, shall we? It has been a midweek of Champions League action. So give us one of your famous, can we call them famous? The famous of me and Sam, roundups.
6 English clubs we had in this first leg of the last 16 in the Champions League and 0 win. 6 games, 0 win, 2 draws, 4 defeats.
You love that as well, don't you, as a Frenchman?
No, I'm just not sure what he says about our beloved Premier League or not. There's still the second legs next week, so a lot of things can change and happen. Arsenal got a draw away at Leverkusen, 1-1 against Bayer Leverkusen. Kai Havertz, former Bayer Leverkusen player, scoring a penalty that Madueke got. You could call it a bit soft. Not the greatest performances from Arsenal at all, but at least they got something out of it and they will be favourite next week at the Emirates, obviously, to qualify. For Newcastle, who is the other draw from English clubs, 1-1 against Barcelona. Very good performance, I thought. All around the pitch, they played really well. Gordon was on the bench. He was not well. He was a little bit ill. Maybe that's why. We had Osula up front, who did what he could. The interesting things for us as FPL is that Walter Maddon and Wissa stayed on the bench. So if you own them in a game, I'm not sure again what that says about their position within that squad and within that team and in Eddie Howe's thinking. Really, Joe Ellington was back and Ramsdale was preferred to Pope to start in goal, which is, I think, significant for our game as well. Chelsea, as you said, lost away at PSG 5-2. It was never a 5-2 game. It showed their fragilities defensively. We got a goal from Enzo, Malo Gusto, a quite anonymous performance from João Pedro and from Cole Palmer in that game too. Liverpool lost 1-0 at Galatasaray, disappointing loss. Very poor performance from Mo Salah. Wirtz was back, missed a couple of good chances too, and the defence was again all over the place from a Liverpool point of view. Manchester City is probably the disaster that we didn't see coming. 3-0 defeat away at Real Madrid, where really nothing went there were at all. Kustanov at right back backfired massively. Savinho starting backfired massively for Pep Guardiola, who took him off at halftime. And then there was another game in Madrid on Tuesday night that we don't need really to go into, Sam, if you don't want to.
What happened, Sam?
It's fine. I'm not
going to start. Why am I getting involved? Sorry.
Go on. You can. I'll close my ears for 2 minutes while you draw
it.
Yeah,
sure. The Igor Tudor show, the King's Key show. I mean, I don't know where to stop, really. Another embarrassing performance from Tottenham, who lost 5-2. And to be fair, it could have been far worse than the 5-2 defeat anyway, away Atletico Madrid. I guess Richarlison and Solanke, a goal each, which is maybe the only bright thing in the day, because it's a 6th defeat in a row for the first time in Tottenham history.
Okay, we'll move swiftly on, shall we? Let's bring you up to speed with the FA Cup, which happened last weekend as well. But to be honest, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably pretty up to speed with the FA Cup because it was a few days ago now, wasn't it? So just to confirm then, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, Leeds and West Ham have all made it through to the next round of the Cup alongside Southampton and Port Vale. That does mean that we know some fixtures will go ahead in game week 34. Sunderland against Forest, Fulham taking on Aston Villa, Manchester United entertain Brentford and Wolves taking on Spurs. So they are all going to go ahead. So that's 4 guaranteed fixtures in game week 34. Now, what does this mean in a wider picture? For the teams with European commitments, there is more of a chance for blank game week in 34. That is because there is a European round of fixtures in the midweek following on from the rest of the game week 34 fixtures. I hope you're still with me, guys. You know to listen carefully and to rewind multiple times when I do these explainers. However, the result of the Leeds versus West Ham game could mean no postponement at all, as the impact of fixture could actually shuffle back into the midweek that follows and stay part of game week 34. Sam, anything you care to add, explain further that I haven't explained well there.
What does
Not
this
you,
mean?
Jules. We know you don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, completely. You lost me. So what does this mean?
Basically, I think it's the fact that there's 4 guaranteed fixtures in game week 34 is the big takeaway.
Yes. So, and the way that the draw went on Monday evening, it now means that we know that there's going to be a maximum of 4 postponed fixtures in game week 34. There could actually just be 2. So it could be a much smaller blank game week than we originally feared it might be. And with the way that the European fixtures are going, it actually could mean that we see less blanks entirely because they just shuffle back within the game week. And we did see that happening last year. So there's obviously going to be a lot that we are going to find out over the coming weeks. And the good thing for us as FPL managers, or for those particularly with wildcards intact that are thinking about whether they want to play them heading into game week 32, we will know the results of what's happened in Europe as well as the FA Cup quarterfinals before we get to game week 32's deadline. So that will be really helpful. And even then, the second legs of the quarterfinal in Europe will also happen before game week 33. So we will get an insight and we will have a couple of weeks in which we can plan for the known. At the minute, we're kind of still planning in percentages. So we're kind of going, well, this is likely to happen. We think one team is more likely to beat the other. You know, we suspect that Chelsea might beat Port Vale. That would have an impact on Chelsea versus Brighton. But if Chelsea have gone out of Europe, then obviously that maybe is less of an impact because we could see that rolling through in the same game week. So yeah, I think it's quite an exciting time in FPL, really. It's that part of the season that we all love that turns a little bit chaotic, where you just have to be on it in terms of knowing when your players are free and when they can play and when they might get doubles if they can't play in the week that they're supposed to.
Okay, so just to confirm, we are going to know the outcome of the European last 16 legs before the game week 31 deadline. The FA Cup quarterfinals will know before the game week 32 deadline. And then the European quarterfinal second legs will be before the game week 33 deadline. So we're gradually getting all of this information. There is actually a really good article from The Scout on this, which is on the Premier League app and website. Just go to the Scout section on there if you do want to kind of try and understand a little bit more, if you think I've just explained that really badly. I actually should have asked Jules off the back of your Champions League roundup. The one thing I thought, with the way a lot of the Champions League games have gone this midweek, I'm a little bit nervous about some of the team selection for this weekend, given the fact that a lot of Premier League teams have got a lot to do next midweek.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. But you also need to look at where those teams are in the table in the Premier League. Now, for example, if you're Chelsea, Liverpool, you can't afford maybe too much rotation because you can't afford not to, in the fight that you are for top 5 finish, it's difficult for you to play the B team. And if the B team doesn't win and that costs you in the end a place for next season's Champions League, then, you know, this is going to be difficult. If you're Newcastle, where you have nothing left to play really in the Premier League because you can't really finish top 5, it's maybe a bit different. So I would expect Eddie Howe, who are still very much in this tie against Barcelona, even if the second leg is away in Spain, to heavily rotate for this midweek game. If you're Arsenal, you can't really afford to do it. If you're City, neither. If you're Chelsea, if you're Liverpool, you can't either. Even Aston Villa, who are playing tomorrow in Europa League. If you're Spurs, what are Spurs playing for, Sam?
Everything and nothing, Jones.
Oh, sorry, to not go to the Championship. They have to play some sort of team, I guess.
We'll have to play a team, yeah. God knows what they'll look like, but a team will have to play.
I mean, probably better rotate considering, you know.
To be fair, when I was asking that question, I wasn't meaning Spurs as much. I was more meaning
half of them are suspended as well. If they're not suspended,
yeah,
they're injured.
Or
they're
concussed,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Sam, are you concerned at all? Jules does make a really good point, but I still just worry when I quite like it when you look at those Champions League games and in the first leg, it's kind of done. So it just feels like, I don't know, maybe it's just me not trusting Pep Guardiola.
No, but annoyingly, I think Jules is 100% right. I think the only team that really can do it is Newcastle because they don't have anything to fight for. Manchester City have to win in the league if they want to stay in a title race. Arsenal have to win in the league if they want to stay ahead in the title race. Liverpool and Chelsea absolutely have to win if they want to try and get top four football for next season, because if they go out of the Champions League, they need to find a way to secure Champions League football for next season as well. Spurs are a whole new conversation. We won't even bother talking about them, but they've got to try and stay in the league, so they can't rotate. Not that anyone's got them in FPL anyway. So yeah, and it's the same with Forest. If you've got Forest assets, they're in the same boat as Spurs. You know, they'll have to play well in the league as well if they want to try and stay in the division. So there's a lot of big matches this weekend that you would have hoped that we would have seen a little less risk on, but it's just not the case. Now, maybe actually that's better for us in FPL because it does mean hopefully we'll see less rotation across our teams than we maybe feared we might.
A reminder, if you are listening to this, of course, we're recording on Wednesday night, so you're not going crazy when Jules says things like Villa are playing tomorrow night. It is Thursday
night.
You're right. I'm just reminding people of when they listen, but we, of course, don't know the outcomes of those games yet either. I just wanted to check in on chip strategies as well, guys. I am obviously the only one of the three of us without a wild card. I'm leaning towards game week 32. I know 35, Sam, has been also mentioned, but I don't want to leave it, as I always famously do, too late. So I think I'm going to go 32 because, to be honest, it burns a hole in my pocket every blooming year. So yeah, it's 30. When do you think is best if you've still got it?
Do you know what? I think it's actually really hard to decide on a chip strategy for definite right now. The teams that you will likely have a lot of players for in your team right now actually have either got a decent fixture in game week 32, so you therefore wouldn't want to wildcard them out. And a lot of the teams that you potentially would wildcard into don't have the best of fixture in game week 32. So for example, you're likely to invest in Chelsea and Manchester City for the run-in because of the fixtures that they have, but also because you would hope that there'll be some doubles to come given their involvement in Europe and in the FA Cup. But they play each other in game week 32. So do you want to triple up on Manchester City and Chelsea when they're about to play each other? Meanwhile, you're probably going to de-invest in Liverpool if we think that Liverpool are going to get knocked out of the FA Cup to Manchester City and they're going to go out of the Champions League. If we think those two things might happen, then maybe you would de-invest in Liverpool because they're less likely, therefore, to have a double game week. Manchester United can't have a double game week. So, you know, you might then take them out, but they have great fixtures in game week 32 and they don't blank in 34. So you kind of have to be a bit flexible at the minute. I actually do think if I had my wild card right now, I would be more inclined to leave it till 35 to play it, because then you could dead end through the blank in 34, hit the double that we'll get in 36, and then really have your team set up nicely for 37 and 38 to try and end the season with a bit of a bang.
Okay, plenty of time. Well, 2 weeks for me to change my mind anyway, isn't there? What about the free hit, Jules? When are you thinking of playing that? Have you kind of considered at the moment?
Well, I think there's either you play for one of the blanks and to cover the blank. Well, certainly 34 looks more likely to be a big blank than 31, definitely. Or if you prefer to wait for the double game week that Sam mentioned, you can do as well, but you need to be solid for the blank game week because the one in 34 could be quite difficult to manage. We don't know yet exactly the extent of, you know, of how big of a blank it could be or not. So we might in the end be okay, but you could also be finding yourself in a more difficult position compared for the players that you have already and if they play or not playing, etc. So you just might be forced to play your free hit in 34, for example. But if you are quite solid in your squad, then I always think the free hit for double game week is a lot of fun, to be fair.
Yeah, it also depends which kind of manager. I always say this when we talk about this chip. It depends what kind of manager you are, isn't it? If you want to be safe and kind of cover a blank, or if you really want to go for it with a double game week, I'm hoping to keep mine for a double game week. But let's see, bench boost, Sam?
Yeah, so we're likely to get two doubles, 33, 36. 33 historically has been the bigger one. Usually that's the one that has the more doubles. That's where we would see the FA Cup games usually get me from 34 into 33. If that's the case, then, you know, we potentially have, you know, maybe six teams, maybe more, maybe less that double there, and then fewer that double in 36. So gut feeling is that you would obviously want to bench boost in the biggest of the doubles if you can, because then you've got more chance of having
more players playing twice, which is kind of mass critical, really. But you could easily, if you wait for a later wild card in 35, hit your bench boost in 36, and then have the kind of perfect setup, really, where you target in on what's going on in those doubles. So that also feels kind of quite nice.
I'm very jealous of anyone that's got a triple captain, because, I mean, let's be honest, our triple captain didn't go that well, did it? But surely you should be keeping it for one of the Man City doubles, Jules.
Yeah, well, or Man City or somebody else, because it's not the form that Man City are showing now. And we saw again tonight against Real Madrid that might fill you with confidence that Erling Haaland could have a great score in his double, for example, coming up at some point. By then, they might be better. By then, you might have another team doubling up and you feel, okay, it's better if you know, I go for Saka, I go for João Pedro, I go for whoever, let's see, you know, Wirtz or Ekitike or something like that. But yeah, you're right. I think ideally your triple captain, wait for the double game week and pick who you think is going to be the best player. I don't know if it's, we obviously played it on Gabriel when Arsenal had that double game week. Did we rush that a little bit, Sam, maybe? Knowing now how this end of the season might look like?
Maybe. I mean, to be honest though, the Champions League stuff might have just thrown us into a bit of disarray, because if all of these English clubs go out of the Champions League, if we lose Liverpool, if we lose Manchester City, if we lose Chelsea, then the potential for them to have double game weeks or multiple double game weeks comes down, because obviously you can shuffle the fixtures around depending upon what happens. And obviously in the FA Cup, like for example, we know that one of Liverpool or Man City is going to go out of the FA Cup because they've been drawn against each other. So there is a chance that we don't get those big doubles that follow. I mean, I think for teams like Arsenal, you're probably more likely to get another one because obviously they're still very much in their Champions League tie and they're got a better FA Cup fixture on paper. So yeah, maybe we rushed it a little bit with Gabriel, but you can only go with what you can see at the time. And at the time, it was a decent double game week where there was a potential for some clean sheets, where Gabriel was on good form in terms of the attacking threat that he brought. So it's kind of one of those balances. Like even with Haaland right now, would you really say that with the way that Manchester City are playing, that if Haaland had a double game week tomorrow, you'd hand him the triple captaincy? Because I'm not sure you would. Like he's not even the standout captaincy candidate every week. Maybe you would look at Semenyo instead, but then it's still a bit up in the air, I think. So maybe we went a little bit early, but equally, I think with the way things are going, we're going to get less of the chaotic end to the season that we normally do. So, and you've got to fit in the other chips. So a bench boost and a free hit have got to come somewhere. And if you want to play them both in a double, where does the triple captain go anyway?
Yeah, let's not dwell on that too much. I'd rather forget that we've used it, to be honest. Okay, so we're heading into game week 30 now. We are at that point in the season where it's very hard to keep up. But 30 does mean that we are now just 1 week away from the blank game week that we have been talking about for quite some time. Arsenal have Everton this week and Manchester City play West Ham before, of course, they both blank in game week 31. Those fixtures, Jules, make it quite tough, doesn't it really, to sell assets from Arsenal and Man City as we prepare for it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess maybe it depends how many transfers, free transfers you have for this game week and then for next one, and how well you can plan if you want to, I don't know, get rid of Gehi, for example, bench Gabriel, bench Haaland, whoever you want to keep or not keep. You need to keep, you know, enough free transfers to do that without maybe taking a minus four. So there's nothing wrong by keeping all your Arsenal and City asset for this game week, because as you said, Kel, is Everton at home, West Ham away, where historically Erling Haaland especially does really well. Keep them as long as you've planned well enough to make sure that you can bench them next week or sell the one that you don't want to sell, that you don't want to keep. So for example, Haaland and Gabriel can go on your bench. You let Gehi and Rice go, which is what I'm going to do, but not this game week. I will do it before they're blank. And I think that's probably the best way to go, because I'm not sure you would want to get rid of Gehi or Semenyo, Rice, even Rice, Gabriel Haaland before the two games they have this weekend.
Sam, what do you think?
I think that's probably right. Having said that, like I am thinking about selling Rice because despite
You've been thinking about that for weeks, haven't you?
Yeah. And every week it comes, I look at it and I go, okay, well, I need to find some money because I need to deal with the João Pedro problem that I've got, because he just kills every week not having him. So I want to get him in this week. And so I need to find some money to do that. The reality is then that money comes out of either Morgan Rogers or Declan Rice. And despite how
awful I feel about Morgan Rogers at the moment with the lack of returns that he's brought over the last few weeks. He doesn't blank. And so I've got a player in my team that's going to be massively helpful in game week 31 versus a player that's not going to play in 31. I've got a player that, given I've used my wild card, will play in game week 34. And if I want to try and play through 34 so I can use my free hit in a double, Morgan Rogers actually becomes quite an interesting hold despite returning. Well, I think you have to look at it that way because he's going to bring a couple of points next week in game week 31. Even if he does nothing and he just plays, he gets 2 points. That's 2 points more than I would have got by not playing anybody, which is the reality is if I've sold him, then I'm using another transfer to sell Rice or whoever it is the week after. Like I think for me, it does make more sense. I could sell neither of them and just go another week without João Pedro. And maybe that's the answer. And then I'll have five transfers going into game week 31. Yeah. And maybe that's the right way to go about it. But I also think that maybe selling Rice this week is actually the right decision because it enables me to deal with a couple of issues in my team. It sets me up a little bit better for next week and then puts me in a position moving forward where after game week 31, my team also looks like it's strong enough to cope with the further blanks that we have coming up later on in the season.
Okay. The other thing to bear in mind, I don't know if either of you said it actually, we need to, whoever you are selling from Man City and Arsenal, just be very aware of the value that you're going to lose by selling them if you do want to bring them back, of course. I think that's probably where we're at with those kind of players. We're all going to have benches filled with Arsenal and Man City for 31, aren't we? Elsewhere for game week 30, Jules, who are you targeting? I'm sure you will have one eye on that blank 31. It almost feels like we've got a bit of the handbrake on a bit. We're a little bit restricted because whoever you bring in for this game week, you want them to play next week.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there's a few good fixtures there for people to target. Probably if you look at the next two game weeks, so obviously this one and then the one where Arsenal and City are blanking. So you will need to look elsewhere if you want to replace those players, etc., and have a strong team. I mean, I think Fulham with Forest and Burnley are probably the best team with the two best fixtures. And with Fulham, I know some you just don't know maybe what to expect all the times, as we saw in the FA Cup when they lost a game at home to Southampton, where we thought they probably would win it and qualify. But Harry Wilson, again, coming back, I think, very much in the conversation here. Raul Jimenez, maybe an Iwobi if you want. What about one of the defenders of Fulham? But I think Fulham is an interesting chat to have right now, considering of the two fixtures coming up. Otherwise, I think Liverpool are still, because they play Spurs. And really, I'm sorry, Sam, but everybody who plays Spurs should be targeted in FPL.
Yeah, sorry, Sam, to say this, but I've seen a lot of people talking about it. Liverpool have a fixture in 31. We've known that for some time, but their fixture in 30 is probably a lot more enticing than it was. A lot of us have got one Liverpool attacker or maybe have Van Dijk plus one. Should we be looking at the treble up now?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's Spurs and then Brighton. So both the fixtures in the next 2 weeks are good. They both look like they'll get returns in both of them. The only thing to caveat is obviously between those two games, you have the Champions League. But as we've mentioned already, they aren't safe in terms of their league position yet. So they do need to get a result against Spurs at the weekend. I've already got two Liverpool players in my team. Probably tells you a lot about how I think the weekend might go with Szoboszlai and Virgil. I think Ekitike is a really obvious buy for this week and for next week, particularly for managers that are looking to sell Erling Haaland. Like if you're thinking, I don't want to keep Haaland for the game that they have this weekend against West Ham, and then obviously the blank. And if you're thinking, I might wildcard in game week 32 anyway, so if I want to bring Haaland back, it's relatively easy. It's only one game that I'm risking not having him for. Then selling him for Ekitike this week makes a lot of sense. It gives you another captaincy option heading into the game week as well, because he does look like a really decent option against the Spurs defence that will now be without Mickey van der Ven after he got sent off in the game in midweek last time around. So, yeah, I can absolutely see that. I think Liverpool do become a team that we should be really looking at. But they have been a bit hit and miss themselves of late. So I don't think that there'll be a lot of managers that kind of take punts on Liverpool players. I think, Wirtz, now that we've seen him back, he's a really interesting differential that people could have a look at as well, because he was doing really good stuff ahead of the injury that then kept him out. So I can see a lot of managers kind of going there, particularly if you're looking for a change up of your midfield investment, if you want to sell Declan Rice, if you're fed up with Morgan Rogers, if you've got another Manchester City midfielder or another Arsenal midfielder that you want to lose ahead of the blank, then looking at somebody like Vert seems sensible too.
Yeah, I'm wondering how the returning injured players from Liverpool could affect things, Jules, in terms of Frimpong being back now and Szoboszlai's positioning, but also Vert's feels quite key. And I imagine, probably for you and Sam, a good example is a few weeks ago, had Vert's been available, and we know Sam said she would have gone for him instead. Yeah. I think he probably would have been the standout Liverpool attacker, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. And to be fair, I brought Szoboszlai in because of the Vert's injury and also because he's cheaper, to be honest. I won't lie here. I've been quite disappointed by what Szoboszlai has given me, really, since I've brought him in, and the performances that he's had. It's a bit hit and miss. I think that's the perfect summary of what they do at times. And Ekitike could be said the same. I mean, Salah, let's not even go there. Gakpo neither. So it's that I think you should look into investing in Liverpool. But to be honest, I'm not sure exactly what the best option right now. It's not the best option, but I don't think there's one outstanding option for people to go to and the ownership of that player to go massively through the roof because as we saw against Galatasaray on Tuesday, again, they didn't play that great. So it's a bit tricky, but I think Wirtz, you would expect, is going to go back to being the boss of that team very quickly.
Is it too soon to bring him in this week, though?
I don't think so. I think he will. He might not play the whole 90 minutes, probably, but I think he will start, and I think they need him badly, really, really badly.
I'm surprised he's not top of your shopping list, Sam.
Well, I've already got two Liverpool assets in Virgin and Szoboszlai. Ideally, I need to save a little bit more money. If I want to be able to go for Joao Pedro laptop without selling Haaland, then I need to come down from Rice rather than staying at the same price or going up slightly. So, and I think had I not got Szoboszlai already, he would be right at the top of the list. I'd put him above Ekitike in my priority list in terms of buys. But I think given I'm already doubled up there, it doesn't feel like a priority to get him alongside the two that I already have, despite the nice fixture that they have this weekend.
Okay, so we've discussed Liverpool having a fixture in both and having good fixtures. Sam mentioned Joao Pedro then. We spoke about him last week, didn't it? And I think the past week, or particularly like in the FA Cup, it just enhances, doesn't it, our need to have him. Sam, is he going to be, spoiler, one of your transfers?
Yeah, I just, honestly, it's so painful not having him. Like every time he does something, I just, like particularly in that game, in game week 29, it was honestly awful because he scored one and I was like, oh, that had an impact on rank. And then he scored again. And then he got the assist and he scored again. And every time it was like big red arrow, big red arrow, big red arrow. And the way that the Chelsea fixtures are over the next couple of weeks, obviously it's Newcastle. Maybe we see a little bit of rotation from them as well, given the Champions League that we talked about before Everton. Like, these feel like good fixtures for Joao Pedro and for Chelsea, despite the fact that obviously they'll have a tough game trying to get something back against PSG in midweek next week. So, yeah, I feel like they are a team that I want to be investing in. I don't have any Chelsea at the minute. And I don't think outside of Joao Pedro, there is anybody else that I would want to have. Like, I don't think Cole Palmer is really worth the money that you have to pay for him. If you're selling Haaland and therefore you've got loads of money, then maybe you can go there. But I just think that for the price tag he's on at the moment, despite the penalties, I don't really see it. Whereas Joao Pedro, for his price point, just feels like he's ticking so many boxes. And I think sometimes you have to look to really attack the game and bring in players that are real differentials. But there are other times where you have to just look at it and go, it's problematic not having this player. And he's going to hurt me massively in game week 31 when everyone else is going to have him and I still won't. So yeah, I think he will be one of my transfers this week.
Yeah, and we spoke about whether we'd missed their really good fixtures. They've now got through Arsenal and Aston Villa, and their next two, I feel like managers will be looking at a lot of players for the next two almost in that mini block. Newcastle at home, Everton away in 30 and 31. Then 32 is Manchester City at home. And then 33, Man United at home. 34, Brighton away. 35 is, I'm not going to go through the whole season, Forest home, but you get my point. Actually, where we've been talking about, did we miss all of the good fixtures? There is still some good fixtures in there for Chelsea. And as Sam said, Jules, particularly for a player in that form.
Yeah, I agree. And like we said, I think in the last show, the one before, they were always caught. If there's one thing that this team is really good at, and I saw it again tonight, Wednesday night, in Paris against PSG, they will score goals. If you give them a mistake, they will exploit it. They can play in transition very quickly forward. They can keep the ball and they keep it really well and create something. Even against a low block, they're that good with the ball. Defensively, right now, I would not say go and invest on a centre-back or a Chalobah or Fofana or a goalkeeper. Even Correa and Gusto or Reece James, I would not touch them. However, for the attacking players, and Sam makes a really good point on Cole Palmer, we're still not sure. And today, again, was a reminder of, yes, he's super talented. One, I'm not sure he's playing in his best position. And two, maybe he's not still fully fit and lacks a little bit of sharpness or something a bit special, a bit edgy. But for João Pedro, for Neto even, who was still very good tonight, I thought, for Enzo, I think you can still go there. If you don't have the money to go for João Pedro, or if you prefer other forwards, that's fine. But I really feel like those Chelsea players are going to score and return, even against City, even in the big games. You feel they will always have a chance, always create something.
Yeah. Any other players that we think we should be targeting? I'm looking at Bournemouth, and they've got, I know it's Man United, but it's Man United at home in 31. They've got a nice fixture this week as well. Sam, anyone else?
I still think Brentford are a team that we should be looking at. Obviously, they've got Wolves up this week, but then it's Leeds in 31 before Everton and Fulham. And then they've also got a game against West Ham. The last three aren't great because it's Manchester City and Liverpool, but you can deal with the last three when we get to the last three. Like, I think, like you said before, Cowles, we're kind of looking quite small blocks at the minute in terms of just getting through game week 31. And I think if you're going to make a transfer into 30, you really do have to be thinking about what that transfer looks like with your team for game week 31. Unless you're free hitting in 31, then do whatever you like for this week. But for most managers, you do have to make sure that whatever you do this week also looks good for next. So getting a Brentford asset doesn't feel like a terrible option, despite, you know, the poor result in the FA Cup and despite what happened in midweek last week. I think, you know, we are looking at a team that has the potential to score goals. And so Wolves and Leeds feel like an opportunity for a Dango or a Sharder or a Damsgaard, if you prefer. Somebody else alongside Thiago, who's been obviously really popular with FPL managers already. So Bournemouth, Brentford, Chelsea, Liverpool, Fulham, they kind of feel like they are the main teams to target. But I'd kind of put Leeds in there as well as a little shout out. If you want a cheap asset, if you need a new goalkeeper, because there'll be plenty of us still in the goalkeeper problems with Roofs and Pope and Sanchez, Darlow doesn't look like a terrible option. Rotates relatively nicely with Dubravka or with Jose Sarr, depending upon how you want to play out the rest of the season. So yeah, Leeds not looking too bad either. Stack if you want in midfield, even Dominic Calvert-Lewin up top.
Yeah, it's tough because I kind of want to keep Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but on the other hand, I really want to bring in João Pedro, and I can go from Calvert-Lewin to João Pedro, and that does feel like a sensible upgrade. But also, I just fucking could punish with these fixtures. I've held him for these fixtures and now I've decided I'm probably going to ship him out. But yeah, okay, let's move on to differential of the week. Sam won last week with Dewsbury Hall, 9 points with a goal clean sheet point and a bonus point. Jules went with McAllister, who got two. So you can go first, Sam.
Oh, it's been ages since I've gone first.
That's feel like
you
that,
win
doesn't
sometimes,
it?
You know.
Yeah.
Especially when Spurs are not winning, somebody needs to win. So
well, no, and also because even when we draw, Kelly lets you go first because she knows I'll always have a backup. So
yeah, true.
So there we go. I've got Marcus Tavernier this week. He is 5.3 million. He's only owned by 1.7% of the game. Oh my goodness, was he unlucky not to score in game week 29. He had those two off the bar that we spoke about in last week's podcast. He had an XG of 1.37, which was the biggest XG underachiever in the game week last time out. He had five shots, which was tied most across the game week in game week 29. And since coming back from injury, he has registered 4.5 points per match. He faces a Burnley side who have got the fewest clean sheets in the league and conceded the most goals in the league. And importantly, he looks good for game week 31 as well. So despite the fact it's Manchester United in 31, I think if you brought him in this week, you've got a player that plays in 31 and could still do well in that one. So yeah, Tavernier.
Jules.
I have to say Tavernier is a really good shot. Really good shot. It's better than mine. I had two because I thought maybe Sam will have one of the ones that I had. I wanted to go with Daniel Munoz because we feel you're a bit down after Spurs' catastrophic season. Sam,
so trying to cheer me up.
Exactly, cheer you up with Daniel Munoz, your lover. We know how much you love him. But instead, I went for Ryan Aitnouri, Paris born and bred Aitnouri, of course. I'm not sure if this is a very good pick, so maybe just don't do it. Anyway, 4.5% owned, 5.7 million. He's been in really good form, to be fair, in the Premier League, because he had a shocker on Wednesday night in the Champions League. Like the whole of the City defense and City team overall, even when he came on, he didn't start, but when he came on, I don't think he brought much to the team. But anyway, I think he will start away at West Ham this weekend. He's got 3 returns in his last 4, 9 points, 11 and 4. He started all of the last 6 Premier League games for Manchester City. So I think he will start at West Ham and he will bring what he brings all the time going forward, especially. And I think he's been in that kind of form. So yeah, I ignore it for me.
That wasn't what I was expecting. You've definitely been blinkered there, haven't you, by the Paris-born and bred. Transfers and captains. Let's start with captains. Who are we going with this week? I like that there is more of a conversation around it these days. Go on, Jules, who are you going with?
So right now it's on Erling Haaland, my armband, but I'm really not convinced. Exactly. Because I think against West Ham, he always scores. There's, you know, there's death, taxis and Erling Haaland scoring against West Ham, right? or certainly in my dreams, that's the case. That's it. I'm a bit stuck, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, but you're stuck, but you're meant to be here to help everyone.
No, I know, but like I think this week is a difficult one.
I think there's loads of good options this week.
Okay, go on.
So like, if I had João Pedro, he'd be in the captaincy conversation for this week for sure against that Newcastle side that I think will rotate. Yeah, absolutely. If I've got Ekitike in my team, I would captain him against my own team because, goodness, I've watched us enough to know that we will concede to Liverpool at the weekend. I'm on Bruno Fernandes at the minute. I think that is a really nice home fixture against the Villa side that have been massively struggling, and I can see them winning by a couple of goals in that one. And Bruno is on penalties and has set piece responsibility and so therefore has always got a good route to points. I like Harry Wilson, if available, against Nottingham Forest. I think he's a really nice differential option that you could go to. I think Semenyo is worth a shout. He is a much better option for Manchester City right now than Haaland, in my humble opinion. Having captained him last week, he seems to return most weeks now, despite the fact he doesn't get bonus points, which is a real frustration. That is annoying because he kind of always gets a goal and then always seems to end up on 7, which is a bit difficult. Wirtz, I think, is there if you want to reel out their differential pick and you're happy to back that Liverpool go
Sam
heavy on
Spurs.
Sam
can captain half the game if she's allowed to.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I genuinely think that this week there is a lot of captaincy options. I think going Haaland this week feels really boring, Jules, because he's not in
maybe.
Form. And there's so many others.
It was more that he always seems to score against them, and that's it. But and at some point, he will go back to scoring more goals. But no, you're right. And I mean,
you've got João Pedro.
I do have João Pedro. The thing is, I know I said earlier that Chelsea can't really rotate because of what is at stake this weekend in the Premier League overall. I wonder if João Pedro is the kind of guy that you could put on the bench and just bring on for the last half hour if needed, if the lap hasn't been doing well, or whoever plays as your number 9. That's the only thing here. But again, I think João Pedro will play some part of the game against Newcastle for Chelsea. But right now, I could not guarantee you either that he will start. I think Haaland will start. He has to start for City and he has to do well in the position that they're in.
Yeah, I think as it stands, my captain's on Ekitike, but I'm not dead set on that because I'm in Sam's camp. I think there's quite a lot of good options.
3 different captains this week for us.
I don't know. I think mine might stay. I don't know. It was on Semenyo for a bit because I like the fixture, but yeah, I think Ekitike. We'll see. What are we doing with our transfers then? I definitely haven't decided on this because I need a new goalkeeper. Sam, are you going to be doing a keeper transfer?
What is wrong with me and my goalkeepers this year? Yeah, maybe. I mean, I might actually just play Dubravka this week because it just feels like, I think if I was going to go there, I think I'd go Raya. And then I'd have to bench him next week and play Dubravka anyway. And so maybe the best option is to actually just play Dubravka this week and hope that he makes a lot of saves against Bournemouth. Because actually what I'd really like to do is do some other stuff. Like in my head, what I'd like to do is take Rice down and then take Krupa Junior up to João Pedro. Those are the two transfers I'd like to make. I've got 4 of them. Use 2 of them, get João Pedro, deal with that headache. And then it also deals with part of the headache for next week as well. So ideally that's what I'd do, but then I'd have to use 3 transfers to also deal with the goalkeeper. So I'm not keen to use 3 this week because I think I'll prefer to have an extra couple heading out of game week 31.
Okay, so just to confirm, you'll probably do Creepy to Pedro and
probably. And Rice just down. I was going to go Rice to my original plan was to go Rice to Somerville, but actually I don't think I'm going to have to do that now because Somerville's injured now as well, injured. Mm. So I'm going to have to think again. Maybe I might just go for my differential and go for Tavernier.
Mm. Yeah, that seems like quite a good move, to be fair. Jules, your plans?
Yeah. I'm going to roll, I think, and I will have three for next week. I'm really happy with the team. I've got a strong midfield, Szoboszlai, Bruno, Wilson, and Semenyo. The front three, Igor Thiago, João Pedro, and Haaland is good. And the back three as well with Senesi, Gabriel, and Gehi. So for now, I'm happy and I can keep those three transfers. I'll have three to sort out the blank for game week 31. It's perfect.
What is the latest with Harry Wilson? I haven't checked myself. I need to do that because that is the only thing that worries me a little bit in terms of he didn't play in the cup either, did he? We know how important he is to Fulham. And I think we saw it again in the cup. The fact when he wasn't around, they're just not as good. So you'd like to think they're going to be rushing him back because they still have a shot of Europe in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got a yellow flag, 75% of playing and ankle injury.
Yeah, so worth keeping an eye on Marco Silva's press conference ahead of that one then. Okay, that's all from us this week. A reminder, it's a slightly later deadline of 1:30 on Saturday. That's 90 minutes ahead of the two 3 p.m. kickoffs between Burnley and Bournemouth and Sunderland, who take on Brighton. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. Praz is in the studio with me this week. Lee and Az will be with you on Off the Bench on Tuesday to look back on Game Week 30. And we'll be back in our usual Thursday slot next week to look ahead to blank Game Week 31. I'm going to be honest, I'm quite looking forward to that game week being out of the way because it feels like I've been talking about it forever, doesn't it? But yeah, we'll be previewing that as if we haven't been previewing it for absolutely weeks on end. Anyway, have a good one, guys. I'll see you then. Bye.